Somebody say, let's grow. All right, cool. And we've been talking about that word through the parables and this idea that Jesus expects us to grow. In fact, he would say, how should we illustrate the kingdom of God? And then he would lift up a mustard seed. And he would say, well, the kingdom is like this mustard seed. It starts small, but when it's planted in the ground, it grows big. And then he would say, hey, you know, one of the ways that you can talk about kingdom living is the parable of the talents. And he would say, you know, a person who was given a talent can either sit on it and bury it and just stay faithful in that sense, or they could use and work their gift and grow it, multiply it, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. The idea that I believe Jesus is getting at in those parables is he expects us to grow. Don't just stay at 30. Move up to 60. Don't just stay at 60. Go up higher to 100. You walked by some signs as you were walking in, some that said this, seeds were never meant to stay seeds. Like, I have some seeds up here. I grabbed a few earlier. This is some butternut squash seeds. These are some turnip seeds. Somebody say turnip. And the seeds, although they look kind of cool in the package, were never meant to stay seeds. It's what's in the seed. It's what it contains that's powerful. That's the desired result. That's the fruit. And so we've been talking about this idea of grow. And we've been using this phrase, if you grow, we'll grow, right? And I'm saying it every week because I want us to remember it every week. If you grow, we'll grow. In fact, I want to just talk to this side. In fact, say it with me. Come on, say it back to me. If you grow, we'll grow. All right, this side's solid. Let's talk about the middle section right here. Middle section, come on, say it with me. If you grow, we'll grow. Hey, would y'all just, let's talk to this side. This side, tell this side. If you grow, we'll grow. All right, I think we all caught it, all right? Progress is power. Even though it's a little awkward to say it to one another, it's this idea that growth is contagious, that God desires for each person in this room to not stay the same. Jesus wants to take you further. He wants to grow you deeper. He wants to take you higher. He wants to grow you. And I believe this is a year of growth for our church. Now, I don't just mean in size. I'm not just saying more chairs. I'm not just saying bigger buildings. I'm saying, no, you individually need to grow. And if you take the responsibility and say, I'm going to have my best year of growth. I'm not going to worry about excuses. I'm not going to worry about whether other people are growing or not. I'm not going to blame anybody for my lack of growth. I'm not going to say it wasn't this or it was that or they didn't do this or they did that. I'm just going to say, me and Jesus Christ are growing this year. And nothing's going to stop that. If you grow, we'll grow. Leonard Ravenhill, the great revivalist, said, you never have to advertise a fire. It'll advertise itself, right? And it's that idea. If you're on fire, people are going to know it. If you're on fire for the Lord, if you're growing, oh, we're going to know it, and it's going to be powerful. We turn that word grow into an acronym, G-R-O-W. The G stands for grace. And we talked about how we never grow out of grace. We just grow deeper into grace. And is anybody thankful for grace? I'm thankful this morning I woke up and I needed his grace, and his grace was available to save a wretch like me and you. Amen. Praise God that grace is not something we exhaust. We don't graduate from grace. We just need more. We grow deeper into more. And that should make us more grace giving, right? The more we receive, the more we give. We talked about the word R is repentance. And in other words, that grace leads us somewhere. We don't just sit in grace and then get comfortable. No, grace leads us to turn away from the sin Jesus died for. Picture our Savior up on the cross for a moment, dying for my sin and your sins. Now he tells us, don't go back to the thing that put me on the cross. I died to save you and free you from those things. So let those be in your past. Don't do a 360. Y'all know what a 360 is? A 360 is, I'm going the wrong way. I know it. You know what? I'm going to repent, and I'm going to keep going right back to that ain't it. Repentance is a 180. It's saying, I know that I'm going this way, that Jesus is telling me to go a different way. I'm going to turn. I'm going to do a 180. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my direction. Ultimately, it's going to change my life. That's what growing in repentance looks like. And the question should not be, when did you repent? The question is, what are you repenting of today? Amen? That we can always be growing in grace and growing in repentance. That leads us to the sub part of this series that we're in this month. And that is the letter O, which stands for obedience, right? We're growing in obedience. And I love the topic of obedience because I really believe unless you choose to obey God's voice, His Holy Spirit promptings, the Word of God in the Bible, if you don't obey His Word, you'll never grow. Here's what James, the brother of Jesus, says. He says, don't deceive yourselves by just hearing God's word. Instead, be doers of God's word. The only way you'll fully experience the fruit of growth is by obeying God and His voice. And so I want to encourage us in this part to say, okay, God, what are you calling me to obey? I'm going to take a step, and I believe it's going to help me grow. Does that make sense? If we're all there, say, I'm there. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring you into this part of obedience that I really think matters and that I believe the Lord has led me to preach on today. If I could be transparent, I felt like I was having some tension on identifying the topic to select when it comes to obedience. We're in this moment, right, where we're looking at different pieces of the Bible that can lead us into these sermons. And the first sermon we did on obedience was obeying the Lord in communion, right? This cup and this piece of bread, Jesus says, go do this. Go be obedient. And as often as you do it, remember Him in His death and resurrection. Remember the gospel. Well, as we were approaching this week, I was thinking about, well, we could obey the Lord in prayer. We could obey the Lord in fasting. We could obey the Lord in serving. We could obey the Lord. And I just started going through all these topics, but I just didn't feel like for this Sunday, that was it. And I just began to try to listen and seek the Lord. And I was doing some coffee meetups and some lunches. And can I just tell you something? I believe that the Lord began to confirm the direction of this message with some of the meetups I was having. Multiple times in a row, somebody looked at me and said, hey, Hayden, I think you should preach on this. And I was like, for real? And then I'd meet up with somebody else. They say, hey, have you ever preached on this? And I say, well, I guess not for a while, but and then I'd meet with somebody else, and I was even traveling in New York, and then I was talking with different people. And again, this message just kept being highlighted. And I said, okay, I feel like I hear your voice, Lord. Let's do it, okay? And so today I want to preach on the topic of growing by sowing. Growing by sowing. Come on, if you want to just write that down. Growing by sowing. This concept came to me because we're continuing to talk about this idea of sowing seeds, right? And if you look at these, what are these? These little turnip seeds. We about to turn up right now. Turn up at church. Look, these little things right here were not meant to stay in the package. They were meant to be sown. The word sow just means a gardener sows a seed into soil, hopefully good soil, put it in the soil, bury it up, water it up, and the pressure of being underground breaks open the seed, and then what comes forth out of that seed is a plant, is a harvest, is a fruit, is a vegetable, is something that grows, right? And I believe that we can grow through our sow, growing by sowing. I'm just giving you the disclaimer up front. We're about to talk about money. We're about to talk about generosity. We're about to talk about some stuff. And somebody might be thinking right now, why did I come to church today? And I just want to tell you, here's why you're at church today. You're here to grow. You're here to grow. Hopefully you're not just singing karaoke. Hopefully you're here to grow in worship, grow in praise. Hopefully you're not just reading a textbook here. You're growing in the Word of God, right? With the people of God, we're here to grow. If you're online right now, you didn't just click a link. Don't click off of it. Let's grow. Come on, somebody say, let's grow. Grow. Let's grow. So if you're ready, say ready. Ready. If you're hungry, say, let's eat. Let's eat. Let's eat. Father, I just want to say, as we prepare to eat from your word now, with the time we have left, would you grow us in conviction, grow us in your word. Help us to hear your voice And as Pastor Marvin already prayed, anything that's not your voice, God, we take it away. Help us to be focused. Help us to see Jesus clearly through the scripture. And help us to know what to do by your power for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sowing, growing. We're talking about this topic out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I was reading these verses and I thought, you know what? In a similar way that Jesus expects us to grow, Jesus expects us to give. That Jesus expected his church to be generous. Amen. I think the most generous place on earth should be the place that's led by King Jesus. Nobody can outgive God. God gave his son. Jesus gave his life. Jesus rises from the grave and gives his spirit. He keeps on giving. Amen. And now he leads his church. So the church can't be stingy. The church can't be greedy. The church must be generous. But can I remind you that the church is not an event you go to? The church is the body of believers, the family that you belong to. You know, just even today, we've welcomed 14 new family members to our church. I'm grateful for God growing this church. We love our guests. We love our friends. We love our family. Join the family helps us know who's a part of our family, who believes what we believe. In fact, join the family, step one, is happening next Sunday. I hope you put it on your calendar. We'd love for you to join us at 10 a.m. right here in the teacher's lounge for join the family. We're talking about growing by sowing. Let's read this together. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 all the way through 8. Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says, now it's superfluous. I love that word. Somebody say superfluous. Superfluous. You learned a new word. Now it's superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's in the northern Greece area. And he's writing to the Macedonians. He's telling them about the generosity of the Corinthians. Now, the Corinthian church is all jacked up. They got all types of problems. Sin problems, sexual sin problems, idolatry problems. They were asking a lot of weird questions. But one thing that the Corinthian church was known for, generosity. He goes, I've been telling the Macedonians, man, the Corinthian church, they know how to give. Saying that Achaia has been ready since last year and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. Paul's saying, we've been so confident about your generosity, so confident about your gift giving. In fact, Corinthians, you told us you were ready a whole year ago to present this gift toward the church. You are a generous people. He goes, if y'all not ready, it's gonna make me embarrassed because I've been bragging on you guys a bunch and I'm so confident, verse 5. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised. So that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Come on, say that with me one more time. God loves a cheerful giver. Come on, spreading Christmas cheer to all who hear. Let's go. It's that time of the year. Amen. That was a rhyme. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. This is the word of the Lord for us here today. I want to look at this passage and just remind you from this chunk of scripture. As Paul writes to this church that he planted, he's encouraging them to be generous and to prepare their gift. And then he says, the reason why I'm sharing all this. In other words, Paul in his own writing says, what's the point? Look at verse 6 with me, 9:6. The point is this. Paul says, let me just cut straight to it. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Growing by sowing. As we look at this topic, I want to encourage you to grow in your sowing. Grow in your seed planting, in your seed watering, specifically the context of this. Now, seed sowing could be used in a lot of different formats. You could sow kindness, amen? You could sow a smile. You could plant a seed of faith. You could plant a seed of encouragement. You could plant a seed of doubt and it'll grow. You could plant a seed of a lot of things. The context of 2 Corinthians 9 is money. He's talking about this gift that the church has prepared for the missionaries in the Corinthians and the Macedonians, right? And here he goes. He says, if you sow financially sparingly, you're going to get sparingly back. He says, but if you go bountifully, expect a larger harvest. I'm not rocket scientist, but if I want you to catch this, I got some seeds over here. I've been throwing them around. These are pumpkin squash seeds. Shout out to Thanksgiving. Amen. If you just do one of these in the soil and you water it and you come back and you water it and you go, how much crops are going to come up? One. Great job. Now, if you just dump out the whole pack, right? If you just go ahead and just do as many as you can and you begin to water those and you begin to pray and you begin to do all the different farming technique that you learned on YouTube, right? And then you come back, how much crop are you going to get? Plenty, a lot. The same is true with giving. And the reason why I want to encourage you to trust the Lord with your giving in this season is because God is a promiser here with his principles. I don't want you to get your financial advice just from the world or just from a TV show or just from the internet or just from your own self. Get your wisdom from the Word. I think we're living in a day where we need wisdom from the Word. And I myself felt convicted as I was preparing for this message because I looked back at 2023 and I hadn't preached on the topic of finances or generosity once this whole year. I say that to say, I don't love talking about this subject. Now, the text has been guiding us all the way through, and sometimes we'll be in a sermon series. We've finished up preaching through the book of Nehemiah. We've been starting the book of Galatians. We've been in a lot. We did a whole series through the parables. But I felt like in this series, God was leading us. Hey, we need to get some wisdom from the Word. The Old Testament talks a lot about money. The New Testament talks a lot about money. Jesus specifically gives all types of content on money. The Proverbs is loaded with content on money. And my point for saying that is this. I need to keep up with the biblical standard of preaching, amen? To talk about things that the Word is talking about. This is a good topic to lean into. Somebody's sitting in here right now thinking, oh, another preacher talking about money. Hey, listen, family, take a 3-week challenge, all right? I'm glad that you're here this week. But the emphasis, don't let that be your heart posture. Turn the frown upside down and see if God has something for you to grow into in this topic. The first point that I want you to see when it comes to growing by sowing is this. Here's what it's going to do. It's going to stretch your faith. I believe somebody needs their faith stretched. In fact, I got me a little, one of these little stretch bands. Come on, anybody got one of these? You need one of these. Oh yeah, feeling that right there. Oh! It'll get you one of those little, you know what I'm saying? All that good stuff, right? Stretch it out. I believe that giving stretches your faith. Right? Giving does something in your spirit that causes your faith to get pulled a little bit. In fact, it causes your faith to grow a little bit. Here's what I believe. I believe this. Some of you maybe are here because you know how to be here. You know where to go. You can go to church. You can drop your kids off. You know the songs to sing. You may even lift your hands. You know even how to open your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians 9 or scroll to the book and listen to the Word, even maybe take some notes and then high five a few people, get back in your car and head home. And guess what? Your faith wasn't stretched a bit. You figured out how to do this. and it now has become more of a checkbox, and it's something that you should do. You should go to church, and you should attempt to go worship and lean in. I think that's absolutely true. But what's it going to look like for you to grow at church? I think you got to stretch. You got to work it out a little bit. The best way to do that, give. Something about giving stretches your faith. Amen. I mean, look at the verse one more time. Look at verse 6 one more time. It spoke to me. The point is this. If you sow sparingly, you also reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. My question is, how many of you really believe that? Yeah. I know that there's a handful that say I do, and I do as well. But I don't know if our practice always follows our faith. If you really believed you could get a bountiful harvest, you probably wouldn't sow as light as you sow. Call us up. Jesus is inspiring the Apostle Paul to preach on this. But before this here, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, as he's delivering the Sermon on the Mount, here's what the Lord says. He says, come on, say it with me. Give, right? In other words, Jesus expected his people to give. If you're not giving, you're not growing. Give, and he says, it'll be given to you. What type of measure? Jesus, hold on a second. If I give, what type of measures come? Jesus says, good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Woo! I like this, Jesus. Where are you going to put it? Right in your lap. This is a verse. Hello. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus is affirming this reality in the Gospels. Paul is affirming this in his letter to the Corinthians. Solomon is affirming this in the book of Proverbs. Check out every proverb, every day, the 11th of the month always smacks me in the face with this verse. Proverbs 11, verse 24 through 25. Here's what it says. One gives freely and yet grows all the poorer. Oh, my bad. I almost got mixed up there. We think if we start giving freely, we are going to grow broke. Man, if I give, if I tithe, if I start really doing this, I'm not going to have as much money. Bruh, if you give freely, you actually grow all the richer. Now, somebody's saying, hold on a second, make it make sense. I can't. It's got to stretch your faith. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to happen. But I can tell you it won't happen if you don't take that step and give freely. I just have had enough fruit in my life, Nina and I together, of trust. Every year we go up in our giving. Every year we go beyond 10%. And I do not say that for a pat on the back. I do that to say, we haven't died. Somehow the Lord outdoes us. Every year we go up, and we tithe off everything. You know, like, if you say, hey, here's a dollar, I'm saying, we got to tithe off that because I just want to trust the Lord with it. I want to give it back to him. And God is so faithful to do funny, miraculous, cheerful giving. In fact, oh, there was a gentleman who just came up to me after one of the services today. He rushed down to the front after the message. He said, he moved a few people aside. I was like, bro, you good? He said, I got to tell you this. I can't believe you just preached on this today. I said, what is it? Give it to me. And he goes, a few months ago, I was living in a different state. I lost my job, got let go. I had one paycheck left for them to pay me. Deposited the paycheck, and he goes, I had a wrestling moment with the Lord right there. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm glad I got this last paycheck. I can't tithe off this one because this is it. And then I'm going to get evicted out of my apartment, and I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. It's me and my son, and I got to figure out how this is all going to work. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, do you trust me? And he goes, I said, okay, I'm going to tithe off this last paycheck. And it stretched my faith to depend on God. We say we depend on God until we actually have to depend on God. He goes, a few weeks later, I get a call from my current job in Las Vegas. And they say, hey, we heard about you. You're looking for a position. We have a position for you. It's actually a promotion. It's you got to move to Las Vegas. And he moves him and his son to Vegas. He gets a job and finds Walk Church. And here's this sermon. And he's excited to tell me this testimony. Amen. I just want to tell you the testimony. I hear stories like that all the time. I can't tell you that I don't know how God is going to do that. But here's what I believe. If you give freely, you grow the richer. Another withholds what they know they should give and only suffers want. Hey, I do this often. This is not toward any specific person. If you ask me this question, I'm just giving you a disclaimer up front because I get asked this all the time. Hey, Pastor Hayden, I'm struggling financially. I have a bunch of needs. I got all types of stuff that my first question back is this. Are you giving? Now that may sound not kind, but it's not because I'm not trying to be kind. It's because when I do the Proverbs math, it says the one who's giving is actually growing. The one who's not giving is actually suffering. So what I'm trying to do is help somebody learn how to maneuver in God's economy. Yes. And it's less about the amount you give. It's more about, did it stretch you? Yes. Because there's a moment in the Gospel of Mark where you find this widow, and it says that she gave a mite, which is less than a penny. And it says that was all she had. And she shows up, and at the offering jar, it says Jesus sat on the side and watched her. And she gave her last widow's mite to the offering. And around her was all types of rich people. And Jesus says, did y'all see that? She just gave more than she just outgave all y'all. And they were like, what? And Jesus goes, you don't see the faith that took. The faith that it took to stretch and to say, I'm going to trust God with this. And watch how Jesus saw it all. If you give freely, you'll grow. If you give freely, you'll grow. If you withhold, you'll suffer. Now, I'm not smart enough to write that. I probably would write something different in my own logic. But I'm trusting, I'm lean on the book. Amen? Lean into the word and get your wisdom and principles and practice through this book. Whoever brings blessing, oh, God will make sure he enriches you. One who waters, you'll get watered. If you feel like, hey, I never get invited, you should start inviting. You got to start watering. Just start watering. Hey, no one says hi to me. Who are you saying hi to? No one holds the door for me. I'm going to start holding the door. No one's giving. I'm going to start giving. Jesus says, hey, if you start watering, you'll start getting watered. It's his principle. It's his principle. Giving is going to stretch your faith and it'll be good. Let me move into the second point. Second point is this. Not only will it stretch your faith, but it'll move your heart. I found that when I give to something, my heart is deeper connected to it. Friend, giving moves our heart. And I just want to say to you today, your heart needs to get moved. Come on, don't be a Grinch this Christmas. Your heart was two sizes too small. Your heart needs to grow. Boom, boom. Come on. All of a sudden, your heart is starting to grow. Why? Because you're giving. My heart follows my giving. If you don't give anything to a certain thing, your heart won't be in it. You can champion it from the sidelines, but your heart won't be in it. You could say, hey, yeah, I'm grateful for this, but I don't know if my heart's in it. Look at this verse in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. So make this decision between you and God in your heart. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves when a person says, I'm just going to do it freely. I'm just going to hit give. I'm just going to drop it in the bin. The widow's mite, bang. God says, ooh, I love that. Because what does that do? One, it shows great faith. Two, it checks God into the game to outgive you. Write this down in your notes. We can never outgive God. You can't outgive him. Isn't that, I thought that was going to be a bigger amen. You can't outgive him. It takes faith. You can't outgive. If you try to go head to head with God, he'll outgive you. In fact, I just heard a testimony from a lady right before this service started. A lady in our church came up and she goes, I'm so glad you said that because last year I tried. I tried to outgive the Lord. And he just kept one-upping me with blessings on blessings, stuff that I was doing it just to see how he was going to do it. And God always has more in store, more around the corner if you're trusting him. Amen. I want to encourage you to think about this topic with your heart. A few years ago, Nina and I, that's my wife, Nina, we were having a conversation. It was coming up on December. And every year we give an end of year offering to our church. And it's not our tithe. It's over and above. It's saying our tithe belongs to the Lord, but now we want to give an offering. There's a difference between a tithe and an offering. An offering is something you give above that. And so we said, okay, the year's coming up. It's about to end. We want to give over and above that. What should we give? And then we just began to ask, well, let's ask the Lord to put a number on our hearts. He knows what we should give. And let's just seek him. And it may not come right away, but we'll come into agreement on what that is. And then we shared that with some individuals. And then we thought, hey, you know what? This might be a good idea for our church. And 2 years ago, we instituted what we call the heart offering. And so every year we have been doing this, the end of year heart offering. What's so neat is people have gotten excited about the heart offering. In fact, some have already said, hey, when are we doing the heart offering this year? When are we doing? I want to start getting ready for the heart offering. I want to be like the Corinthians. I want to start preparing my gift. The heart offering is going to be on December 17th. It's the third Sunday in December. I want you to mark this Sunday on your calendar. Do not skip church on this Sunday. We're going to have our offering bins up here on the front, and we're going to have a moment where anybody who wants to give to the heart offering, it's not about the size or the amount of the gift. It's about what did God put on your heart. I want to encourage, for the next 3 weeks, would you seek the Lord? If you're a married couple, do it with your spouse and say, Lord, give us a number and stretch our faith and move our hearts, and we'll trust you with the rest. Don't do it under compulsion. Also, don't do it reluctant. What is reluctant? That's that double dutch. Like, should I jump in? Should I jump in? No, no, no. All right, fine. Yeah, no. Can you just jump in that thing? And just jump in and start jumping in the giving. You can't outgive God. Let me give you the third point. I'm almost done here. The third point is this, that by growing and sowing, it makes you a recipient for more grace. It puts you in a category of someone who receives even more of God's grace. Look at the verse 8. We're almost done. Verse 8 says it like this. And God is able. Ooh, I love the God is able verses. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. There's always a few people. There's a few different types of people in the room right now. There's somebody in the room right now that's saying, "Ah, a sermon about money. Just preach the gospel, dude." I'm saying, make sure your heart posture doesn't miss what God's trying to teach you right now. And there's somebody else in here that's thinking, man, this is a great sermon for somebody else. I love the Lord and I serve. I love to serve. I serve all the time. And my serving is my money. And you're not hearing the message. You're trying to manipulate it. And then there's another person who's sitting in here right now that's saying, I love this message, but I'm scared that if I do trust the Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And here's your verse. Paul says this, God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency, God is the all-sufficient God. All sufficiency in what things, friend? All things. How often? All the time. And all the time, God is good. That you may abound in every good work. So don't get it twisted. If you trust God with your giving, He will not let you down now. He is going to do all things with all sufficiency, with more grace. Look, giving doesn't make you a qualifier for grace. Come on. Being a sinner makes you a qualifier for grace. This isn't a verse about salvation. Come on, praise God, His grace and mercies are new every day. But this verse talks about more grace. This is a different type of grace. This is an extra grace. Sowing says, oh, He's going to make, God is able to make all grace abound to you. And so I just want to say, trust Him with it. Who's going to take care of you? Hey, one of God's names is I Am. So who's going to provide for you? Let God say, I Am. Who's going to help meet my needs? I Am. Who's going to help me pay my bills? God says, I Am. You can trust them. Amen. Let me give you the fourth and final point. We're almost done. Fourth point, we'll make it quick, is that growing by sowing increases our buy-in. My prayer with this message is this, that you would be able to hear this message. It would increase your buy-in to this church. You hear me say this every single week, or whoever talks about generosity, they say this. When you give to Walk Church, you give through Walk Church. But can I change that right now? It doesn't make this less true, but there's a way to say this that precedes even this. Here it is. When you give to Walk Church, you give to Walk Church. It wasn't that clever. I thought it would be a little bit better than that. Listen to me. When you give to Walk Church, you give to Walk Church. Can I just tell you, this is good soil to give to. I believe that. I really believe this is good soil. You have opportunities. Dave Ramsey says, we shouldn't have our money tell us where to go. We should tell our money where it should go. You have an opportunity in this season to tell your money where it should go. Of course, you got Christmas gifts and you got personal stuff and you got bills and all that, but it's ultimately you that tells your money where it should go. And I want to tell you just to hear today, transparently, authentically, this is good soil to sow to. Really believe it. And I would tell you if that was different, because every area in our church is growing. Last year at this time in November of 2022, we had two services that were growing. This year, we have three. Come on, praise the Lord. That's growth. And each one is growing. Last year, we had 100 and something baptisms that we had been able to be a part of throughout the lifetime of our church. Just a few minutes ago, we baptized our 191st person in the life of our church. We're coming up on 200 baptisms before the end of this year with the amount of people that are growing in the gospel, growing in conversation. At this point last year, if you'd have said, hey, Pastor Ryan, how many people are family members at Walk Church? I would have said, honestly, in humility, I'm not sure, because I don't know how to measure who's family and who's not necessarily. And so we started a Join the Family membership class. Today, you just saw that, we brought up our 114th member of our church. That's some good percentage of growth. I asked our youth ministry. I said, how's our youth ministry? We're growing. We're seeing the biggest amount of students we've ever seen on Wednesday nights at our church. I looked at our prayer ministry on Wednesday nights. Our prayer ministry, we just had to pull out more seats this past Wednesday to get everybody in, online and in the room. I asked Nina about our kids ministry. We moved from the 600s to the 200s because those classrooms are bigger, because more kids are coming. Our kids ministry is growing. Our dream teamers are growing. Our charge groups, we had a charge group feast this past week on Tuesday. We've had the most amount of groups we've ever had in the history of our church this semester. Our groups are growing in community. Can I just say this? The only area that's not growing is people's giving. was talking to Pastor Mike, our executive pastor who leads our stewardship team. And though everything else is growing, people's giving is not. And I don't know how else to compel you other than I believe God's word calls us to be generous. And this is good soil to sow into. If this church was, if it was decreasing and stuff wasn't growing and the baptism waters weren't being stirred and people weren't responding to Jesus and kids weren't going to church and we weren't on mission and doing Love Strong and giving away turkeys and engaging the nations, and if we weren't, I would say, I don't know, maybe give to something else. I think this is a good place to give to. This upcoming Tuesday is called Giving Tuesday. If you're into giving in that context, I would encourage you to give to this nonprofit organization because of the fruit that's experienced. You get to, through your giving, you get to touch that. You get to be a part of the ministry of Walk Church through your giving. Let me get that last point up on the screen. I really believe if you start giving here, it'll increase your buy-in. You'll show up on Sunday different. You'll show up to groups different. But if you don't give, you don't grow. You'll be a fan. You'll be like, hey, you guys, great. Go do it. I like coming here. And we love that you come here. But if you don't give, you don't. Your heart isn't moved. Quick testimony: Nina and I, we support a ministry called Goodness Gracious here at Walk Church. It's a homeless feeding ministry in our city, and they do such a great job. I've heard about what they've done, but during our Love Strong project, we said, you know, we want to get out there and serve with what they do. So we went out to Sunset Park at their time. We stayed for a couple hours and engaged and served. Can I just tell you, the difference between knowing and hearing about what they do and actually being a part of what they do is different. Yeah. All of a sudden, my buy-in has increased. Why? Because I gave to it. I saw people. I got names. I got faces. I got prayer moments, laying of hands, pouring, serving. Buy-in changes. I want to encourage you. I want to try to compel you, friend. You can trust God. You will see a miracle. Where you water, He'll water. Where you withhold, He'll withhold. Where you give, your heart moves. Your buy-in increases. You see God's grace differently. And friend, I want to encourage you to trust Him. Amen? You cannot outgive God. So let me pray and we'll respond. Father, I thank you for this time today. I thank you for this sermon. I thank you for this service. I know that I needed it. I pray somebody else needed it. And God, it's not about the size as much as it is the heart. So God, as you move our hearts to generosity, I pray that we would trust you with faith. Faith to give and faith to receive. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. I just know that you're going to do it. So that's what we bring today. God, I pray that people wouldn't feel a compulsion or a reluctancy, but God, give them a cheerful spirit. God, we know you love that. Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus, I pray today they would get to know him and say yes to you, Jesus. Thank you that you gave your life for us, not for any payment other than your own blood. Not that we could pay you back, Lord, but we receive you by faith. So today, if you're here and you haven't received Jesus, I want to invite you to receive him now. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I believe that you're my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I turn away from my sins. I believe you paid for them all on the cross, and I put my faith in you now. Help me to grow. Help me to sow. I trust you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. 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 Let's thank him. Somebody took a step today.